For today, featuring the Bible teaching of the late Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, you'll be encouraged to fear the Lord as we pick up in the 128th Psalm, beginning with verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
The next psalm goes on and it extols further the family life and the blessings of the family life. But it begins with, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord." So this is sort of a beatitude of blessedness to those who really reverence God, those who really serve the Lord, fear the Lord, have a reverence for God, who have the place for God in their lives, who have placed God in that priority spot of their lives. Oh, how blessed is the man that has put God first, the fear of the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now, these are the blessings. He will eat the labor of his hands. It wasn't always that way, especially in those days. Happy you will be, for it will be well with you. He will be a happy man, the man that fears the Lord. He's blessed. Your wife will be as a fruitful vine by the side of your house, like a neat grapevine beside the house that's just filled with fruit. Your wife will have lots of children. And your children will be like little olive plants around your table. I love that. I can see that, you know. Here's the dad and the table and all these little kids around the table, the olive plants around the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And so the blessing is a large family. The blessing is a lot of children. The blessing is eating of your own labor. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. You will see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And then finally, the ultimate supreme blessing. You will see your grandchildren. And I tell you, it's true. It's the ultimate blessing. Your grandchildren. And peace upon Israel. So the promise of God's blessing upon those that fear the Lord. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. I've gone through, I've experienced afflictions. And let Israel say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Paul said, I am cast down, but I'm not destroyed. They haven't prevailed against me. Yes, they have set their snares, and I've been afflicted, but they haven't prevailed. The plowers have plowed upon my back and made long their furrows. This could be a reference to the slavery, especially in Egypt, when their taskmasters would lay across their back the whip. The plowers have plowed on my back. They've left the furrows on my back. But the Lord is righteous, and he has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Those cords of the wicked wherein they held me, wherein I was bound, the Lord has cut them. He has set me free. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Israel or that hate Zion. And then let them be as grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it grows up. Now, over there they have flat roofs, and Many times they cover the roofs with dirt. So you have weeds growing on the roof of your house. And so the weeds, though, that grow on the roof of the house burns up quickly in the late spring, early summer. When it starts getting hot, it just withers and dies quickly. It never gets high enough to mow. And so those that hate Zion, the wicked, let them be as grass upon the housetop, which withers before it really grows up, withers quickly and dies. Wherewith the mower cannot fill his hand. In other words, it never gets big enough to mow. Nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. It never is able to be harvested. Neither do those that go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Now, this was a very familiar phrase during harvest time. When you would pass by a field and the people would be out there harvesting the field, the familiar phrase is you see them harvesting, you say, the blessing of the Lord upon you. And it was just a typical, and even to the present day, typical. As you see the man harvesting his field, you'll see his friends walking by, and he's out there harvesting. They'll say, the blessing of the Lord upon you. And it's just the typical thing. You remember when, in the story of Ruth, when Boaz came out to the field and his harvesters were there, he said, I bless you in the name of the Lord. And they said, the Lord bless thee. They would usually say, the Lord bless thee and thy seed, but he didn't have any children. So it's just typical as you are enjoying the fruit of harvest to recognize that God has blessed and to just pronounce the blessing of God upon the man as he harvests the fields. Psalm 130 is a cry of the psalmist who was going through some heavy, heavy trials. Out of the depths, that is, out of the depths of my being, out of the depths of my soul, I cried unto thee, O Lord. And I'm sure that all of us can relate to this, for there have been those times when we've been overwhelmed by the circumstances of our lives. And out of the depths of our being, out of the depths of our soul, our prayers have come. It's just, we're so overwhelmed by these circumstances. We cry unto God. And so out of the depths of my being have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Oh God, hear me. I'm desperate. For thou, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand? Now, usually when we are going through these heavy, heavy things in life, I mean, those really deep waters, somehow we always seem to feel that this is God's judgment on me because. And all of us have failed. All of us have come short of what God would have us to be. The Bible tells us that. None of us have attained or achieved all that God would have us to be or do. And we're aware of our shortcomings. We're aware of our failures. And whenever these heavy, heavy trials come, and our soul is just weighted down, the enemy takes advantage and says, yes, you see, because you did this, you know, God's getting even with you, you know. And thus the psalmist says, Lord, you know, if you would mark iniquities, no one would stand. In other words, he recognized that it isn't because of my iniquity. He recognized that if God would, you know, lay it on us because we had failed, that no one would come out. I mean, we'd all be wiped out. And thus recognizing in this situation that it isn't really a punishment. And I think that that's so important, that we not blame God or think that God is some way punishing us. It's so sad. We were with a family as they were going through the deepest water. The Lord took their little girl, the joy of their life, home. And that's never easy. And the dad was sort of blaming himself. And that's always tragic because it's not true. But the enemy would say, you see, if you had only done this, if you had done that, if you. And he torments a person with that, if I had only. And it can be a hell. Now, the psalmist was wise enough to recognize that these deep, heavy experiences are not because of my failure and my iniquity, because, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, man, who would stand? None of us have a chance. For there is forgiveness with thee, that you might be reverenced, that we might stand in awe and wonder of you. And so I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word I hope. Lord, I'm waiting upon you, and I'm just hoping in your word, the promises of the word. I'm hanging on to that. And have you ever been at that place where you just hang on to the word of God? Lord, you've said. Jacob, when he was really facing, I mean, he had deceived his father and received the birthright that the father was wanting to give to his older brother Isaac. Earlier, he had conned his brother out of the birthright. Now he conned his father out of the blessing. His older brother was so mad, he says, as soon as my dad dies, I'm going to kill that rat. I mean, he made a vow. I'm going to kill him. I hate him. I'm going to kill him. I swear I'm going to kill him. So Jacob, knowing that his brother had evil intentions, as soon as his dad died to kill him, when the dad got real sick, thought he was going to die, Jacob took off running. He didn't stop till he got to Babylon, 220 miles away. And there he settled down in Babylon for 17 years, got married, and of course, even as he had deceived his father-in-law deceived him and passed off the ugly duckling sister on him for the first bride. And when the veil was lifted and all, in the morning light, he saw that he had the wrong sister and went complaining to the father-in-law, says, sorry, son, custom, you know. The younger sister can't get married till her older sister has been married. Tell you what, though, serve me for another 7 years, and you can have the younger one too. So he served another 7 years. And then he served three extra years in which they made agreements that were constantly being changed as to his wages. Finally, he was getting richer than his father-in-law. His brothers-in-law were getting jealous. And he could see that they weren't happy and they were ready to do something. So now it's time to leave them. I mean, it's on the lam once more. And so he gathers up his wives, his children, and he decides to head back towards home, towards his brother. And as he's on his way back, he takes off when his father-in-law and his brothers-in-law are away shearing their sheep. And word comes to them, hey, Jacob's left. He's taken all the cattle and everything that belonged to him with him, you know, his daughters and your grandkids. And so Laban armed his men. They came chasing after Jacob. And the night before they caught up with Jacob, the Lord said to Laban, his father-in-law, don't you lay a hand on him or you're going to answer to me. And so Laban felt frustrated. The next day when he came to Jacob, he said, what's the big idea going off, taking my grandkids, not even letting me say goodbye and kiss the grandkids, you know. Well, that's not what he really had in mind. He was going to really do Jacob in, but the Lord had warned him not to. Don't you know that I have the power to do you hurt and so forth? And it is this big, big conflab. I mean, it was a big rhubarb, really, yelling at each other and all. And Jacob says, you've changed my wages 10 times. And all of these accusations, yelling, and it was really fierce, intense. So they drew a line, and he said, if you come back over this line, you're going to be in big trouble. You know, and if God hadn't really warned me, you'd be in trouble right now. But don't you cross over this line coming back towards us. And the Lord watch over you. I can't watch anymore, you snake in the grass, but may the Lord watch you while we are absent one from another. You know, and you better take care of my girls and not mistreat them and so forth. And so Jacob has this heavy, heavy duty experience, big fight, and it's always, you know, discomfiting. Fights with relatives. So that night, in the evening, his servants come back who had gone out to scout in front of them. And they said, your brother Esau is coming to meet you. He has 200 armed men with him. Well, now, that's not the way you go out to greet your brother in peace. And Jacob's in a quandary. The angry father-in-law behind him, in a line he can't go over, and the angry brother-in-law coming to meet him. Or brother, not brother-in-law, just the brother, his brother, twin brother, Esau. And so Jacob is in this quandary of what to do. And oftentimes we find ourselves in the middle of a pressured situation. We don't know which way to turn. Jacob waited on the Lord. In fact, he wrestled with the Lord all night. And so the psalmist speaks about the depths, crying to the Lord, waiting on the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. Now Jacob prayed, and he said, Lord, you remember when I left here 17 years ago? I made a deal with you. He was really overwhelmed with what God had done. He said, you know, when I left here, when I crossed this little stream, he had come to the stream Jabbok. He was back almost to the borders of the land. He said, when I crossed this little stream, all I had was a walking stick. That's all I had. But you've been so faithful to me. Great is thy faithfulness. Each morning you've shown me new mercies. When I crossed here 17 years ago, I only had a stick. Now I'm going to cross this stream again, and look, I've got two wives, I've got these beautiful children, I've got these hundreds of sheep and cattle. You've blessed me so much. Great has been your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And he was recounting what God had done. But Lord, you said, return unto your home, and I will deal well with you. Now, I'm coming home, but Lord, Esau's on his way with 200 men. I mean, but you told me, you said, and he's reminding the Lord of what he said. Now, a lot of times when I pray, I do that too. I remind the Lord of his promises. Now, not that he needs it, but it helps me to remind the Lord that you said, Lord, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you said that, Lord. And it helps me to remind the Lord of what he said. So I wait in the Lord, for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word, in the promises, do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Now, a night watchman's job was a lonely kind of a vigil. Can you think of just all night long walking on a wall, looking out into the darkness? And I imagine that just, you know, the hours probably drag. And you can't wait for the light of the morning, the dawn. And so all night long, as you're walking that wall, looking out in the darkness, you keep looking over towards the east to see if there's any dawn, any sign of the morning. And so my soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Yes, I say more than they that watch for the morning. That waiting upon God, and sometimes it seems so long. It seems like God is not hearing me. And it seems like I've been waiting so long for God to work. But let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Therefore, put your hope in the Lord. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Lord, if you would mark iniquities, none of us would stand. But you will redeem Israel from all their iniquities. The word Israel is governed, a man of God or governed by God. And the Lord redeems those who are governed by him from all their iniquities. Isn't that glorious? If God would mark iniquities, none of us would stand, but he's redeemed us from all our iniquities.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the Psalms in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck continues with Trust in the Lord. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to secure a copy of today's message, simply order Psalm 128, verse 1, when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while there, be sure to browse through the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD. And our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, that's 1-800-272-9673. And if you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck with today's closing comment.
You know, in these Psalms, there's something for everybody because they come out of life and life situations. They're practical. They're not some kind of idealistic philosophy, or they don't deal with that unreal kind of ethereal, everything is beautiful, wonderful, never is anything wrong kind of a, you know. But it deals with the real issues of life, and thus it can speak to us. We can identify with the psalmist, with the situations that he was facing, with the disappointments, with the hurts, with the pressures, with the excitement and the glory of seeing God work, with that difficult time of waiting for God sometimes to accomplish his purposes in our life. But there's always something for each of us. And it's good to let the Word of God minister to our hearts.
I've got some exciting news to share with you. The Word for Today is releasing Pastor Chuck and Kay's books in ebook format. For those who like to read books electronically, you can now download Pastor Chuck's books to your Kindle reader, iPad, iPod, or even cell phone. What a blessing to be able to have these resources with you at all times, especially when you're in a place to minister to another person. If you have an e-reader, then you know the advantage of being able to search, find, and minister within seconds. And with all of Pastor Chuck and Kay's insights into biblical wisdom, this is a great opportunity to be able to gain from their books so you can share the good news with others. If you would like more information on how to download Pastor Chuck and Kay's ebooks, you can call the Word for Today customer service department at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today. in Costa Mesa, California. This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.